Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Kingdoms Queens podcast. We are officially headed into week 8 of the NFL. How did that even happen?
I don't know.
How are we already done with week 7? I feel like this is flying by. I'm going to say that every week, but it really is. We are off of a great win against the Los Angeles Chargers. There's nothing like a good old division rivalry, a good old division win like that. So we are pumped to be with you guys this week and discuss this awesome win, plus some news around the NFL, and then headed in back to Broncos country. Let's ride. So, So I'm your host, Lexi.
I'm Chrissy.
I'm Jody. What's up, y'all? So good to be back this week.
Glad you're back.
Sorry, I'm also posting on Instagram that we're live. There's been a lot that has happened in the NFL.
Well, including Mecole Hardman, welcome back to Chiefs Kingdom. As of today, Mike Pennell is back as well. Super Bowl champ. Let's go.
Love that dude.
But maybe we should have seen it coming with the tweets he and Chris were posting.
I know. I'm like, he posted a couple of months ago that he misses Kansas City barbecue. I'm like,
yeah.
That should have been our sign. We should have moved in. But no, a whole lot happening in the NFL. You're absolutely right. Was a great week. Did get Mecole Hardman back, and not only did we get him back, I mean, we'll get into how great he did on his first return back. But there were some things that kind of happened in the NFL. There were some really good games this week, so we can really just start with Monday Night Football. We're gonna cover 3 games with y'all about that happened this weekend that were pretty interesting. Vikings,
yeah.
Niners,
yeah. I'm not gonna lie to you.
Primetime Kirk, baby.
I love it.
That 49ers game, like a couple weeks ago, before they lost last week and this week, they were looking dominant. So something has happened. Something has changed. I don't know what it is, but they looked very average this weekend. Oh, thank you. They're not new. I just hide them all the time.
They're so cute. We love your girls. We love
they don't behave.
And Jody
saw me beforehand trying to get these to figure out. So, but thank you.
They both have great curls, right?
Yeah, thank you. My Hermione hair. It's fun. they just look very average. I feel like they're relying on Christian McCaffrey way too much, and he's getting burnt out by the end of the game, and Brock Purdy is struggling to say that. Like, he's not looking too purdy out there.
Brock Purdy not looking purdy.
Yeah, not looking purdy. Throwing a lot of interceptions, making bad decisions. I don't know, guys. They are not looking like the team I thought they were.
He had those 2 minutes at the end there to make that game-winning drive. And
yeah, he had so much time.
Really bad pick. And, you know, Brock Purdy has looked good. And for being Mr. Irrelevant last season to going to where he's gone,
yeah,
he's been awesome, but I do think he's definitely struggled, and that could be just him getting in his head a little bit. I think they can figure it out. They have the team to do it.
Too, but I also think the play calling had a lot to do with it, too. I think there were just some things that just was like, I don't understand, like, why they're calling these calls. However, the Niners' defense was not that great yesterday. So even though the offense struggled, they're known for being very successful with their defense, and their defense wasn't good. Their defense usually has way more takeaways. They usually have at least a pick 6 in a game. And, I mean, they did have one, but they still were just really – they were on the field a lot. I feel like the Vikings, Kirk Cousins and that offense, they were really running. They had great clock management yesterday. And the defense couldn't get off the field. So it's like Brock Purdy and the offense, they had opportunities, but it's like – not nearly as many as like they normally would. Like, I feel like they couldn't get into a full rhythm. So I'm not sure what that is all about, but I mean, they're down 2 games now. I think they go to the Bengals next week.
That's interesting.
Could be a possibility of them going.
I'm excited for that. But I will say Fred Warner had a fantastic game. He's always phenomenal. He's one of my favorite players just in the NFL in general.
Yeah.
He died yesterday, and hopefully he's not like too injured because he did go down.
Yeah, he did go down.
Yeah.
But I will say, like, the 49ers, they allowed Kirk Cousins almost as many passing yards as Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, and he didn't even have Jefferson.
And Patrick Mahomes faced the 32nd defense, like ranked defense in the NFL in the Chargers. And 49ers are not the bottom. They're like top five, if anything. So for them to allow that many yards from Kirk Cousins is kind of insane.
Well, I also find it crazy that that they let up so many yards when they didn't even have their number one playmaker. I understand they still have Addison and that other guy who actually Osborne.
Yeah.
Oh, the running back Madison.
Osborne, my guy.
Yeah, no, not even Madison because Cam Akers was eating into his carries, but
he had a decent game though.
Yeah, but I just, even without Justin Jefferson, like the Vikings were just, I mean, they were taking advantage of everything they could against the 49ers defense. It was kind of surprised. I'm not saying the Vikings are not a bad team. They've had a lot of one score games where they lost, but they just put together a good game against the 49ers, and the 49ers looked like they just were not prepared for the type of game plan that the Vikings brought. So it was interesting to say the least. So
the Vikings still have a chance to turn their season around. I know right now they are sitting at 3-4, and their next few games, they go to Packers, Falcons, Saints, Broncos, Bears. So there's a very high possibility that they can win.
Very nice stretch of schedule. Games
and be right back in it. I know the Lions, their schedule is a little – I can't think of what their schedule is right now off the top of my head, but the Vikings do have a chance to get back healthy and get back out there and catch back up. I don't know what the Lions schedule is for the next few weeks, but the Vikings still have a chance to turn their season around and lead that division.
Well, I do know the Lions are playing the Raiders this coming week. Really, so.
Their schedule's really easy. I looked at it, I think, last week, and oh my gosh, they have an insanely favorable schedule. So they should be fine, but, you know.
Should be, we'll see. Let's get into the next game. Eagles-Dolphins. Another very interesting Sunday night football game. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't watch that much of it. I just saw the Dolphins lost, and that was all that mattered to me. I do know Jalen Hurts had another interception.
Yeah. I mean, Tyreek Hill scored a touchdown, but they held him to, like, I think 80 yards, which, I mean, for any receiver, 80 yards, you're like, oh, yeah, that's great. But when you're talking about Tyreek Hill, you know, holding him to 80 yards is pretty decent for a defense, too, because he's so explosive.
Yeah.
But, you know, I feel like Jalen Hurts was using his legs a little bit more this game. I feel like he's been doing that less. Sorry, my cat is everywhere, blocking my light, doing all sorts of stuff. Please ignore her. But I feel like he was using his legs a little bit more to force plays when the play broke down. He was using, kind of like we see Patrick do, when the play breaks down, he finds a way to either use his legs or something to get that first down or move the chains. And I feel like we saw Hurts do that a little bit more this past game. I also feel like, you know, we've kind of talked about it throughout the podcast, like, who is Miami's defense really? I have not been impressed by their defense.
No.
And so that's the thing.
No.
You can have a really explosive offense, but if you have a defense that is just going to let points go and get scored on, having an explosive offense, especially if you can figure out, hey, two high safeties, hey, you can kind of slow down Waddle and Tyreek Hill.
Absolutely.
That's how you have to beat them. I don't think their defense can stop many people. I don't think they're very good.
It's really funny because a lot of people have been, I was on Twitter kind of just listening to a few different sports spaces yesterday and today. And there's like this really big debate about what teams in the NFL in general are good. Who is actually beating like 500 teams? Like, yeah, some of these teams have great records, but they're not beating anybody per se. And when you go back and look at like the wins the Dolphins have, like they beat the Panthers, they beat the Giants, they beat the Broncos, they beat the Patriots, they beat the Chargers. I mean, so like there's some teams in there. Now, of course, like you expect the Chargers to be better this year, and they're really not. They're sitting at 2-4. And you thought the Patriots would be better this year, and they're not. I mean, even though we're getting ready to talk about that game.
I was going to say, love that, but.
That division game. We're
going to talk about that game next. But, I mean, there's a lot of teams. The Dolphins really haven't played any true contenders, right?
No.
And then they play the Bills, and the Bills beat up on them.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, overall, I think it was just not a good showing for the Dolphins. Their O-line struggled. Tua was sacked a ton of times. He threw a pick. Jalen Hurts was – they were throwing picks at all over the place, both of them were actually. I just don't – now
– Jalen doesn't look like himself either. Though.
I was going to say that. He does not look like himself from last year, and I don't know if he's just in his head a little bit. We do know, like, once you go to the Super Bowl, it is really hard to go back once you lose it. And it's kind of the same thing with Joe Burrow. Like, they kept saying that, like, is he going to go back? And so far, Jalen and Joe do not look like themselves after going and losing the Super Bowls.
But they've added so much talent to the Eagles roster. So that's another thing that's concerning for me.
Yeah.
So they're adding all this depth all over, and they still just look very.
They were definitely the better team. But did you guys know that so kind of controversial, which has been for a while, are the referees in the NFL. But the Eagles had zero penalties called on them, which has only happened
yesterday.
It's only happened one other time in NFL history. They had zero penalties. So that referee is like being looked at because he's a Pennsylvania guy. And apparently he doesn't call penalties on the Steelers or the Eagles.
Oh, this is amazing. I did not know that. This is great.
Isn't he the same guy who's gotten in trouble for it before, right?
Yes. You're telling me, I was watching it, and Dolphins fans, I mean,
roughing the passer call?
I wanted the Dolphins to lose, but I'm with them on, like, there were so many calls. I mean, there was a face mask. There was hold. I mean, there were so many calls.
I've seen a clip of, like, the face mask, and I was like, oof.
Their fans are going off, and I do not blame them because, and granted, the Dolphins fans are not blaming the refs for the loss, but they're saying, you're telling me an NFL team guarding Tyreek Hill in the fastest offense in the NFL isn't going to be called one.
They weren't holding
anything.
There's no way those corners weren't holding. Like, let's be serious.
Yeah. Now the Dolphins had 10 penalties to their zero.
Ten penalties for 70 yards.
That's bad.
Yeah, they had zero.
That's got to be better.
Now, yeah. Eagles did have a couple fumbles, interceptions, but
Philly's had a hard time holding on to the ball, man. Like,
yeah, definitely.
What's going on?
I do not know, but
yeah. Well, let's get into the last game that I actually rewatched today, and I was just like, this is spicy. So good. Patriots-Bills. Patriots got the win yesterday.
Division game, man. They are insane.
Never thought I'd be excited for the Patriots to win, but here we are.
Yeah, New England. Woo!
I'll tell you this. Patriots fans didn't think they were going to win yesterday. They actually dominated most of the game.
Yeah, they really did.
Like, it seems like the Bills didn't really get it together until after halftime. It's like, okay, they probably went in the locker room. They finally made some adjustments. The offense finally started clicking a little bit. They started using the run game a little bit more because that first half was awful. It was god-awful. But the Patriots were really, I don't want to say dominant, but they definitely ran the game yesterday. They have really good clock management. Bill Belichick really just kind of showed who he was as a coach because you could see, like, really good clock management throughout the game. He was just really good. And, I mean, of course I have to talk bad about Josh Allen and him throwing the pick on the very first play of the game. It was amazing. I'm like, you got to be better. But, I mean, the Patriots defense held them scoreless in the first quarter, which is also a big deal because it's always important to get points on the board, especially when you have a ball.
Yeah. No, that's huge.
I know I was watching that game. I was at a restaurant. We went to a pumpkin patch and then we went to a restaurant. And we were watching the game on the TV and we were just like, what? Like New England, what? And we were just watching and Bills just did not look good, man. Like no, they just, and I'm not saying they're a bad team, but they've definitely got some inconsistencies that they're dealing with. And I'm not saying that not every NFL team has that right now. You know, I think we're all trying to figure out different aspects of our, you know, teams right now, but
yeah.
It's just it's so volatile that how they look one week versus another week, and
it's
I don't know, man. There's something
you gotta give Daniel Jones some respect to that 2 minute drive there at the very end to go down and score after they had fumble and then they went and scored and then he went. I can't remember how many yards, 80 plus yards to go down and to get another touchdown. I was like, what? They're not going for the tie, guys. They're going for the win.
So. Yeah, and I can't stand Mac Jones. I don't like him at all.
Ugh.
He's just got a punchable face, you know? Like,
oh, I say the same thing.
Something about his face. I just want to punch it.
Very punchable. You
did.
It's okay. Jones.
Yeah, you did.
You did. It's okay.
Blue, red, white.
Same thing. But yeah, overall, the Patriots are not good, but they do know how to play their division rivals. And Bill Belichick did get his 300th win. So that was
congrats
to him. Bill. Great.
We're like,
but
cool.
But I'm glad it was over the Bills. Love to see it. The Bills just need to find some consistency if they're going to be contenders this season. Their defense just looked really off. I know they're missing some key pieces, but you have to have next man up. You have to be able to step in.
It was terrible.
And make those plays, and they just weren't. And then Josh Allen and their offense is just so insanely inconsistent. It's not fun to watch.
You have all those receivers.
I don't know.
Like, you have all those receivers, and it took you so long to finally click.
And I'm excited because we're 1 week away from the trade deadline. So I'm excited to see what some of these teams do.
Yeah, agree. Well, let's go ahead and get into our week 7 matchup. Had a really good game on Sunday. Chiefs, Chargers, you always love when you can get a division win. Division wins are important. Before we get into it, I want to ask y'all a question because this is something that I heard last night when I was listening into a space. Do you think the Chargers game was in? How do I say this? I don't want to say that it wasn't important, but do you think the Chargers game was a big deal game? It was a big deal game.
I do.
Yeah.
I do. Think it was
a bigger deal than the Jags?
Well, here's the thing. The Jags game, I think our Jags win looks better every week. However, the Chargers always play us incredibly close. Like, it goes into overtime, down to the wire. Mm-hmm. And we went out, and that first half, you know, it was kind of like a shootout, especially that second quarter. It was just back and forth. And then you knew at halftime, you were wondering what kind of adjustments are going to be made to slow this down. Guys, the Chargers didn't score a point the entire second half. Correct. So to me, that game was a big deal. A, because it's our division, and we just put the division incredibly out of reach for anyone else in the AFC West. And B, it also shows that our defense can make incredible adjustments mid-game to an offense that was just going down the field. Like, nothing was stopping them that second quarter. They were just going. And to me, seeing our defense come out at halftime, after halftime, and make the adjustments they did to hold the Chargers to 0 points. I mean, that offense is not a bad offense, guys. They are a high-powered offense. You know, they're good.
They're great.
So to me, yes, that was a big game because it really put us on top of our division by like 3 or something games. Like, that's hard to come back from. Mm-hmm. And also, guys, it's a division opponent. I mean, that's a big win no matter what. Ask the Bills how they're feeling right now. Like, again, about losing to the Patriots. Like,
I think every win is a big win, but I think especially when it comes against your divisional opponents, because that's who you have to beat to get a playoff spot. like, you know, so I don't get why anyone would say it's not a big deal. I understand it's the Chargers and like they're having kind of a rough start to their season, but like you said, they play us tough every single time. None of us thought this would be as big of a spread as it was, I guess, point differentiation wise, but yeah.
So for me, it was a big deal before the season started. And after being through 7 weeks, I feel like the Jags win was more important than the Chargers win because of how far we are in our division.
Well, plus tiebreakers, yeah, for sure.
But if we don't,
for me, like where I think it's always important to beat your division team, yes. But at the end of the day, I think when it comes down to week 17 and 18, we're going to be battling with the Jags and not the Chargers, if that makes sense. I think Jags are going to make it. So that's why, for me, I'm like, yeah, division games are always important, yes, but I think the Jags game was bigger to me than the Chargers game.
To me, like,
because it's week 7.
Yeah.
Seeing how depleted they are already, they're not making that big of an impact in the NFL. They're 2-whatever now, you know what I mean? Well, 4, because they've had a bye. So are they 4 or 5? I thought they had a bye.
No, they're 2-4.
Do you guys think that's what I'm saying. Of the playoffs? So,
no.
I don't. See, now, if they would have won this, and that's where I think
the Raiders have a better record than them. The Raiders, I know the Raiders aren't going to make it far either, but if the Raiders have a better record than the Chargers right now, that's a problem.
Yeah, I do not think the wild card is coming from the AFC West.
No, I don't either. I
think that, it ain't coming from us, guys.
I think the AFC North is way better. I think they're, but the AFC North is interesting in that it's their defense is carrying them over there. Like Myles Garrett and TJ Watt are single-handedly carrying their teams.
Absolutely.
Which is crazy. So,
well, and most of the teams in the North right now are all over 500 too.
Yeah.
Well, they're either at 500 or over 500. They're the best division in the NFL right now. So
yeah, they're a great division, but it's not their offenses, it's their defenses. So it's a defense, exactly.
And that's what I was just getting ready to say. I think you see great defenses from most of the teams in the NFL. You see better defense right now than offense. I feel like every team is still trying to figure out and get like kind of on whatever page it is, they're still trying to figure out what their different offenses, but everybody's defense came out the gate like rolling. Anyway, I just wanted to ask you all that question before we get into the week 7 recap. So tell me what you guys' thoughts are on the game. I know Chrissy kind of got into it a little bit, but.
He did. See, I don't even remember. I did. That's right. I did get into it. Defense. I'm going to answer that guy's question. Cincinnati's 4th in their division right now.
They got a lot of work to do over there.
They got some work, and that's all I'm going to say.
Their schedule is probably the hardest remaining schedule.
It's brutal.
So
yes, thanks for them.
So have fun, Cincinnati.
Good luck, Bengals.
But yeah, I really want to give a shout out to our offense. You know, I know we talk about our defense every single week because our offense has been kind of struggling. So I really want to give a shout out to our offense because in that first half, guys, our offense looked really, really dominant. They looked like our offense of old.
Yeah.
I think they started focusing in more on MVS, finally got some targets, and he did fantastic stuff with it. Rashee Rice, once again, freaking love that guy.
Love him.
He had a fantastic game, 60 yards and a touchdown. And then, you know, Travis Kelce, we've talked like, holy crap, what a game for Travis. But our offense finally just put some stuff together and they weren't making those stupid mistakes that we've seen them make. I didn't see a lot of drops. You know, there was that fumble by Noah Gray or sorry, Blake Bell. Sorry, Noah. By Blake Bell, that fumble, that was not a fumble.
MVS's touchdown.
Yeah. And McKinnon's.
McKinnon
had that touchdown that they took away off of the block.
Clearly, I don't know Bond.
Oh my gosh, I was
block
like,
in the back.
I clearly don't know.
But I was just really happy that our offense, you can tell I've said this every week, our offense has looked better. Mm-hmm. It may be small changes we're making, but they made improvements every single week. And some people don't want to look for that. They just want to see a flawless game, and that's all they care about. But you guys know me. I look for the positive, and I really do believe our offense has gotten better every single week. And to go up against the Chargers defense, I know their secondary sucks, but guys, they do have some great guys on their D-line. Okay. Yeah. They didn't really get to Pat very much. He had a game. He had over 400 yards and four touchdowns.
Khalil Mack had a career game earlier this season, I think against the Raiders, where he had six sacks in one game.
Yeah, and they've got Bosa. I mean, guys, it's not like they have just crap on the D-line. They've got some great players. So I know their secondary is horrible.
Yeah, and they were missing Williams. He wasn't there this week, which was actually shocking.
I was really proud to see to see our offense take it up another notch and just look more like the offense that we are used to seeing. The one thing I wish we would stop seeing on our offense is the 1 yard or negative yard carries from Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I understand they're using him to keep McKinnon fresh and to keep Pacheco fresh and give him a breather, but good Lord, I am done with
waste of a down.
It is a waste of a down. It's exactly what it is.
It definitely is. But I do want to give our O-line a ton of credit.
Pat had time.
I mean, he had seconds in the pocket, which is almost unheard of with these great D-lines we're facing. And I actually want to give a quick little shout out to Wanye Morris. He got his first start at left tackle when Donovan Smith briefly went out. I think just maybe a jammed little finger or something. He was right back in. But Wanye Morris went in, blocked his, you know,
he did great.
Yeah. Blocked his butt off. And he did great. So I was like, you know what, if we need some depth there, I'm so glad we have him. He's learning behind a guy with a ton of NFL experience in Donovan Smith. So I'm glad that we have Donovan Smith. I think that was like a question all off season. And I'm glad we have him. He's doing really well. And also Jawan Taylor did really well on the right tackle. He had no penalties. He has really stepped up. And
was that last week or the week before? He didn't have penalties either.
I think it was the week before too.
He's starting to finally clean it up.
Yeah, he's really cleaned it up. They're just, as a whole unit, they're just doing so well together. And we're only a few weeks in. So I just can't wait to see how they keep doing. But that pocket was clean. Like Patrick was like, he had time to eat a sandwich back there. Like he
could have ordered a pizza, watched a movie.
I'm very, very happy that Mecole Harmon is back. You could feel it. You could feel it on the field.
Yeah.
Like even though he was on very limited snaps, when he was out there, it was very like it made a difference. I laughed because every time it was a punt return, kick return, he literally fair catched before like the punter or the kicker even got the kickoff. I was like, you already fair catching me, Cole? Like, are you going to at least try? And I'm sure that is for a particular reason. But I will say, just being an Arrowhead and Mecole being out there, his very first punt return when he was out there and the crowd went crazy. So he is definitely loved, and it is great for him to be back. Someone said it in the comments too. In the second half, he finally was like, all right, let me actually run the ball back this time. And of course, what'd he do? He went out there and made a big difference going into that quarter. So, you know, it's really great to have Mecole back. I think him being on the field definitely frees up a lot of room for the other receivers. It makes, if you're out there, you're probably doubling now Mecole and you're doubling Travis. So that makes room for your Rashis and your other receivers like that. So I'm just really happy that he's back. I know it's not going to take him long to get fully adjusted.
No.
I know he'll probably still be on limited snaps again this week going into Denver. But you can just definitely feel like his presence when he is back on the field. So very, very happy that we went after him.
What we were missing in our offense too. I feel like it makes 100% on that adjust differently. That's why like MVS was getting, I just feel like it was just good.
How do you feel this puts Tony's position? Because Tony was brought in when Mecole kind of gotten hurt and he was dealing with some stuff. And Mecole can do these gadget plays that they're trying to get Tony to do, right? Mm-hmm. So do you guys think Tony, I feel like his snaps are deteriorating every week. Do you think that his role is going to continue to diminish now that Mecole is back and that Mecole is going to continue to rise up? Because I kind of feel like we've got Rashee Rice, number one. And then I feel like McColl and MBS should be rounding out 2 and 3.
Yeah.
Because Tony's just not doing it.
I almost wonder if they're like saving Tony for later on.
Yeah. Because I feel like anything, they're going to continue to limit Sky. That's I feel like they're giving KT more snaps than they're giving Sky. Because
Sky more targets or no, snaps?
Sky because, still has more snaps.
Yeah. Sky has more snaps, but he doesn't have as many targets.
No.
Mm.
And Sky,
but Rashid's snaps are going up.
We'll say credit to Sky. He had a great block for Mahomes this past
week. Well, Sky's doing that run. Nothing. He's doing absolutely nothing. He's not creating a diversion. He's he's not doing a single thing. No. So he's not beneficial.
He's like two catches.
Even though he may have more snaps, he's not doing anything. No. So I think that he may be out there, but maybe it is to save KT. Because he could be out there also doing nothing.
I just still think our offense is just finding their groove a little bit. But I think you're getting that feel of how they're going to be throughout the rest of the season, which is definitely Rushy is number one. And then kind of MVS.
Well, yeah, because, you know, Justin Ross might not be on this team. So.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about that earlier.
Who knows what's going to happen there.
Justin Ross.
Yeah, I mean, luckily they said that the report is not as bad as what they reported yesterday.
Yeah. And hard to talk
about. He probably will stay on this team, and suspension probably won't happen until next year. But
for those who might not have heard, Justin Ross was arrested yesterday on account of
two misdemeanor charges.
Yeah.
Who knows? Ridiculous.
Domestic battery and a personal property of less than 1,000.
Yeah. He did plead not guilty today, which is interesting to me. So we'll just kind of continue to track that and see what happens.
Of course.
We're going to work on a
plea. We can't really speak on it today because not too many details have come out. With
we don't want to spread this information. So.
But regardless, with whatever he's going through, if he already wasn't getting any production anyway. So yeah. I don't see that increasing at all now.
Did you guys read that report today? I'm going to read it out loud here real quick. I think it was put out by the Chiefs earlier, or an article earlier. It said, Justin Ross is in trouble with the law now, so it might be a moot point, but I've been asked a lot about it. He's only had 81 snaps on offense in 7 games this year at a time when his position is in transition. What I've heard is there are football issues here. He's been inconsistent in practice, and while he's big, he's not very fast and struggles running some routes. That makes him a tough fit in an offense where receivers are moved around constantly and asked to be versatile in what they bring to the table.
Yeah, so that wasn't...
I had this conversation the other week.
That wasn't from the Chiefs. That was just somebody tweeting that out. I did read that as well.
It was somebody that writes for them, not from the actual Chiefs. But
yeah, it wasn't from them.
Yeah.
But, I mean, no, I think it's very clear that he's been struggling in the playbook. Yeah. That's not new. You know, that's not new information. We've known that for a while.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Interesting. But, yeah, I think our offense, they're getting it figured out.
Oh, yeah, they look great.
Yes. Every week is better. Great.
I can't wait to see what they look like going into Denver because I know it's going to be a hostile environment this week.
Yeah.
Denver's fans, they show out. Like, you have to give their fans props. Like, you know, they were having a crappy season last season. Like, when we went to Denver last season, they were loud. They were doing what they needed to do. So, you got to give their fans props, man.
I want to touch on Nick Bolton, too, real quick, because he was playing a fantastic game, and he did go down with a wrist injury.
Surgery.
He's gonna be out for probably 6 to 8 weeks. Sorry. Which is a huge bummer.
Club.
That's really unfortunate.
And I'm glad we have Tranquil to back him up. Our linebacker was so good. Our defense again held this high-powered offense to under 20 points. Like, no one has scored more than 21 points on us this entire season.
Well, and you're talking about Nick Bolton. Nick Bolton was fantastic against the run. And I feel like that's probably why we brought Pinnell back, because he was a really good run stuffer. So I feel like that'll take some of the pressure off our other linebackers to have Pinnell in there, maybe helping with the run.
Yeah. You can rotate him and Drew and it'll be just fine.
Yeah.
Because Drew Tranquil, he's really finding his identity on this team as a rotational piece. Every time he's on the field, he is just angry. I mean, he had a sack in this last game, which I know was great for him, giving some of that hate back.
Oh, man, the way I cheered when Tranquil sacked Herbert. Oh, boy. Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, it's I was looking at something else earlier, which gives you so much credit to Brett Veach, too, just because he's doing a really great job going out and finding these dudes. Like, Drew Tranquil is on a one-year, $3 million. Mike Edwards, 1 year, $3 million. Wow. Charles Minnehue, 2 years, $16 million. Like, you're bringing in all of these great pieces and this great depth, and we're spending, like, no money at all. Right. And they're coming in. It's like they're playing like it's a contract year for them. Like, I want to be on this team long term. And you can kind of feel that energy, especially from, like, Drew and Mike, because I feel like every week we're saying their name. So
Willie Gay has had a phenomenal season. It's a contract year for him, too. Yeah.
He is. And he's so much better, too. And you can kind of see what he's like when Nick is out there. And you can see what he's like when Nick is not out there.
Yeah, he's different.
When Nick is there, them two are like dynamic. So I want to see what Willie will look like for sure over these next 6 to 8 weeks with Nick being out for an unfortunate injury. That really sucks.
I think it's cool that we just have so many guys on our defense that are standing out every week. Like, it's not just one or two. It's like almost the entire defense.
Literally.
Every step.
Literally. It's like Miko Harman. Who's your best friend? And he named 20 Chiefs players.
Right.
Let's get into player of the game for week 7 before we get into week 8.
Yes.
Who's your player of the game?
So I have a player of the game and I have an honorable mention. So my player of the game is going to be Drew Tranquil. We've talked about it. He's dynamic out there. He took over the mic when Nick Bolton went out. Plus he had that game sealing sack against Herbert, which was just sweet music. It was beautiful. And I love the energy he brings onto the field. He is a hard hitting guy. He is so diverse out there. He can play any linebacker position. I love him. I love everything about Drew Tranquil.
Me too.
Clone that guy and send him my way, please. my honorable mention is actually going to Mecole Hardman. I know he only had like 6 yards, but he had, first of all, that 6 yards that he had, that reception was a big reception. Okay. It wasn't
third down.
It was a third down converted to a first down. It was not an easy catch. He had to jump up in the air when he had a guy coming at his back. Mm-hmm. So big first down catch for us. Or third down conversion, I should say. And then he had that huge run back at the end of the game. So I think coming back from Mecole, I think they're like, he's been a very polarizing player in Chiefs Kingdom because he was drafted the same year as some, you know, I'm not even going to name them, but as some very high powered wide receivers, high ranked wide receivers in the NFL. So, but I think coming back, everybody knows who Mecole is. We know what he's here for. We're not expecting him to be like a DK Metcalf or anything like that. We're expecting him to be Mecole. A speed guy, a gadget guy, and a returner. And I think him coming back with us now knowing like what his role is and what his position is and how much we were missing something like that on our team, I think it's brought him back in just this whole new light for Chiefs Kingdom. And I'm so excited that he's back. And I think
it's almost
you can see it on his face. Like he just feels like a weight has been
lifted. Oh, yeah. It's almost like you don't know what you have until it's gone. And then we realize what we had when he was gone. And
just knowing what he went through last season with his injury, where we had no idea. Like he couldn't feel his legs for 4 or 5 days. He couldn't walk. And we knew nothing about any of this. He was in the hospital for 10 days. Like knowing, I love that he opened up about that because it just gave us.
He was ready too. He said he was. And so that was actually very interesting to me in his press conference last week when he opened up about it. Yeah. He had actually tweeted a couple of days before, like, I can't wait to tell my story. And I'm
knowing how he came back for that AFC championship game and gave it his all when he probably shouldn't have been. You know, he said he was probably, 60%, something like that for the AFC championship game. So even coming in and doing what he did when he probably had no business to just because he wanted to be there for his team. That's the kind of guy you want in the locker room. That's the kind of guy you want at practice. you know, pushing everybody to be better, pushing himself to be better. So he gets my honorable mention today.
Videos of him being so, back.
It was so glad he's back.
Yeah.
You know, and he, I also feel like he's kind of like on like a revenge tour too. Like
totally.
The Eagle, not the Eagles, Lord, the Jets, well, Robert Saleh, well, not what he tweeted, but one of their media members tweeted out the other day, and then he retweeted it like, And then Tyreek Hill commented under it like, you know, so I was just like, I feel like he also is like, y'all didn't think I was good enough to be here. That's fine. Let me actually show y'all what I can do. So I feel like he's playing for a lot of different reasons this year. And, you know, he probably wants to come back next year too. So
yeah. And I saw some Jets fans being like, oh, look, another wide receiver that the Jets didn't know how to utilize after McColl had his game with us last weekend. So
what's new? Hey. So we're glad to have him back. I have two quick honorable mentions and then my player of the game. One guy that's kind of going under the radar is Mike Dana. He's having a really quietly great season. He already has 4.5 sacks, which is up at the top of the NFL. Or not top, but he's up there with the best of them right now. I'd like to point out that Nick Bosa only has 2.5 sacks.
Hey.
Dana has like 2 more sacks total than Nick Bosa. He also has 16 solo tackles. Chris Jones is only 1 sack ahead of him with 5.5. So just Mike.
Granted, Chris did miss 2 games, but still.
2 or 1? I thought only 1.
Didn't he miss 2?
I think only 1. Chris?
What are you talking about?
He just got out in the first game.
Oh, maybe that's right. How many games did Chris Jones miss? 1 or 2?
1.
Yeah.
Travis missed
2.
No.
I know it's been a long season. You know, it actually hasn't been a long season, guys. It's only week 7, which means there's still 11 weeks left of football. And that didn't even include playoff football. True.
But
like, I feel like 7 weeks went by really fast, but there's still a lot of ways to go.
Yeah, there is.
Like, there's a lot of ways to go.
Yeah. So anyway, quick shout out to Mike Dana. He's doing fantastic.
Yes, he is. He's also balling.
I think he's also in a contract year. So
he is balling.
Either this year or next year. Either way, he's doing fantastic. My other honorable mention quickly is Travis Kelce. He is just a phenomenal player. His connection with Patrick Mahomes is just surreal. They just get each other on a different level than anyone else in this league right now. They're unstoppable. Whether it's he's being a distraction to get someone else open or he's open himself, Travis Kelce is going to make plays with Patrick Mahomes, and we are so lucky that they are on our team. He had 13 targets, 12 receptions, 179 yards. He had like 140 yards in the first half, which is insane. I don't know how. I mean, granted, they were playing zone coverage most of the game, but whenever you put him in man coverage, Travis Kelce is going to get crazy open on you.
Oh, yeah.
He hit those huge explosive plays, and that's what he did. And then he even had a touchdown, which was like a funny like push in the end zone, which I thought was hilarious because he's like, he was like dancing around. He's like trying so hard not to lose the football, and then our O-line just pushes him into the end zone.
That was a crazy play.
No.
Have you seen this the still picture of him?
Oh yeah,
yeah. He's like, and you can see his side eye like looking for the byline to see if he's made it. That picture is crazy.
It's hilarious. Yeah, it's awesome. It's legendary. They are just fantastic together. Miss Taylor Swift on the sideline there. So,
oh my gosh, that video of her looking all concerned.
Travis Kelce is already like that, right? Travis Kelce is already just like that dude.
Yeah.
Regardless if she is there or not. But it's just so funny listening to like the media be like, y'all, Travis Kelce is already like that guy.
Yeah.
But then you got your little girlfriend on the sideline. You got to play a little bit better because she's
more. Yeah.
And I'm just like, oh my God. Like, because Travis is already going to get 100 yards a game anyway. But really, 179, dude.
He's definitely averaging higher yardage totals when she's at the game.
Yeah.
Exactly. Taylor, feel free to come to every game.
I know that's what Andy said. He's like, she can stay as long as she wants.
As long as you want, sis. You need to go to the airport.
I love Brittany and Taylor's little handshakes, too.
Oh, my gosh. It was so cute.
Little dancey dances, a little hand. I'm like, you guys are cute.
Their chest bump.
I love this little era that we're in. Era, right? That's what it's called.
I don't know what the heck is going on. I feel like every year Chiefs Kingdom somehow finds a way to do something
insane. Now we have Taylor.
Like, if I was not a fan of us, I would be
one of us, y'all.
I would be sick of us. Okay, my player of the game.
Wait, I didn't even get to say my actual player.
Oh God, you've named like three people. Okay.
I know.
I said I was going quick and then we keep talking. My actual player of the game, and I'm actually going to show a quick clip, which is why I'm saying this, is Mr. Brian Cook. I feel like he's also gone. He had a huge stop on Palmer from getting in the end zone. Like the same kind of stop he had against Breece Hall against the Jets a few weeks ago. Brian Cook made this fantastic stop on Palmer. He had three solo tackles and two assists this game. He's just fantastic. I love him. This is only his second season. I feel like our rookies from last year are just, they bonded so well last season because they were thrown into the fire and won a freaking Super Bowl. So this year they are just showing out. Yeah, I don't know. They're just fantastic. Brian Cook had himself a game and he ended the game with his first pick from Justin Herbert. And I'm so proud. And so I want to show you that the Chiefs actually posted, I think they posted it yesterday, actually.
I'm going to cry. I'm so proud of him.
But this, so get your Kleenex ready because this is going to make you tear up.
No,
I got my paper towels. We're good.
But this was his phenomenal, and just listen to his reaction, his teammates' reactions, the coach's reactions. Dave Merritt was just so sweet with him after he got it. It's his first pick. So here we go. I'm going to play this clip for you guys.
Let's finish. 3 minutes. Let's finish. Here we go.
Second and 24 for the Chargers. They're down by two touchdowns. This defense has shut down the Chargers in the second half. Coming after Herbert again. The pass floats middle, and it's going to be intercepted. Brian Cook gets the interception. The first interception of his career.
I got me one.
Great to see these young Thundercats in the defensive backfield feast on these opportunities.
Let's go!
Chiefs look like they're gonna go away with the victory.
Let's go! I got me one!
That's awesome, baby. I'm happy for you.
Oh, yes, sir.
You know, you're involved with
that. I know, I think he's involved with that. I'm ready to run, Coach Agolanti. Hey, check me out. I got lost. Oh, snap. Give me a second.
Yeah, six.
I got me one.
So obviously, just phenomenal. I just love it. He was so excited. Like, I love our defense so much.
That video woke my cat up. She watched the whole thing.
Yeah. Yes. <Guessed. laughs> Anyway, your turn, Jody.
He definitely did get a pick before Trent McDuffie. Trent owes us so bad.
Oh my God. And you know,
owes us two.
You know,
he really owes us one from last year still, but it's a new season.
And so they said in the last franchise episode that it was like a week or two ago.
I haven't watched it yet.
Well, Trent said, well, maybe it wasn't even that. I don't know. There was some interview that Trent said, it was like the questions the Chiefs do on their social media. Either way, anyway, Trent said that Brian Cook is his best friend on the team. They're neighbors. So to see them like
neighbors?
That reaction together was so sweet.
Oh my gosh, that whole reaction when they were like hugging each other, I was like, oh my God.
They probably ride together. They're probably
rookies. I guarantee you they've like talked about so many times, like who's going to have the first pick. And then I think Brian gets it. I just think that's awesome.
I'm going to always think of those guys as our little rookies. Like I know they're second year players, but like they were such an amazing rookie class.
If they're going to be here year five, we're going to be like, oh, rookies.
Look at our rookies.
Do you guys have this too? Where like, I'm still really attached to last year's rookie class. I haven't really found that with this year's as much.
No,
Rushy, but like,
the SMU kid, but
FAU,
every single person last year. I'm still looking at FAU like,
I don't know. Yeah.
You out there? Okay. So my, I have a player of the game honorable mention. I'm going to start with my player of the game first. It would be Mr. Charles Minnehue. Welcome back. You have been gone for 6 weeks and you are finally back.
Yay.
Not only is he back, but he made a huge impact on his first game back. So first game back, he had a 23.5% pressure rate, which is kind of insane.
Yeah, that's crazy.
For it to be, for you to be rusty, for you to have not played in a real-time game since training camp, or I guess, yeah, training camp, preseason, and to come in and to make this type of an impact against a team like the Chargers, like very, very impressive. He had 4 pressures, which the team actually had 17 total. He had 1 sack already. Like, okay. Like, if giving, I want to have a sack every single game. I wouldn't be surprised if he had a sack every single game. I would be totally fine with that. 2 tackles, 2 QB hits, and a tackle for loss. And he also was the one who kind of got, like, his hand on the ball when Snead got his interception, too. So he definitely made an impact there. Charles has been on social media supporting this team, like, the biggest cheerleader for the last
100%.
He's been so hyped and so ready and so energetic and so on fire for this team just the whole time. So it's so great to actually really see him back. You already see what happens when it's him and George Karloftis and Chris Jones together. They are a freaking duo, trio that I'm not ready for it. So I know the NFL isn't ready for it. And once they just continue to play these multiple games and get that rotation together and really kind of get that like chemistry together, it is going to be insane because George Karloftis had a sack too, right?
Yeah,
I think so.
We had 5 sacks this game.
I know Mike Dana did too because he's the Charger.
And Chris Jones had one, right?
He was really close like twice, but on those 2 times, Herbert gets the ball out, and so it didn't count.
Okay, so Charles Minnehue.
Yeah. He basically did, but didn't.
GK had one.
True, Drew Tranquil.
Drew. Yeah. Okay, I can't think of
that. Willie Gay get a sack?
Yes, he did. He had the first one. Yeah.
I love Willie Gay, man. Sorry. I need Willie Gay to be just following me around. Hype me up all day.
Hype man.
I mean, my first already really gay hype man. Yeah. I just want Charles to know that we are very happy that you are here. Yeah. We are so happy that you are here. And I cannot wait to see him wreak havoc on the whole entire NFL. My honorable mention goes to Mr. Patrick LeVon Mahomes II. I feel like we haven't gave him any
love. Talk about him.
I can hit over 400 yards and 4 touchdowns, and he's an honorable. Like,
424 yards and 4 touchdowns is crazy. Dude had 300+ yards before halftime. It was scorched earth, and like, why? Like, normally we're like, okay, he's gonna go scorched earth on this team, and he doesn't. And then this one, he was just like, forget it. Dude went crazy. Not only that, you guys spoke about, you know, how much time he had in a sack, how much time he had when he could drop back. And when you have that much time, it's evidently clear what Patrick Mahomes can do for this offense. Him and Travis Kelce also have now hit 50 touchdowns together, which is remarkable. And I know we always say, oh, my God, Patrick to Travis, that's my favorite combination. Yeah, well, they've done it 50 times now, and it's only week 7, so who knows what the heck they're going to be able to do this season. Something else I do want to mention on with Patrick Mahomes having another 400-yard game, this is his 6th total 400-yard game in his career. Tom Brady has 4.
Oh!
Tom Brady played in 383 football games. Patrick Mahomes has played in 101. So Patrick Mahomes already has 6 games with 400 passing yards, which is insane. And in the last 3 games for Patrick Mahomes, I don't know if y'all been paying attention because I feel like we have been running the ball really well lately.
Yeah.
Patrick is still throwing the ball over 40 times. Right. So even though he's throwing the ball over 40 times, he's currently right now in his last 3 games, he has a 75% completion rate. So to be throwing the ball that much and to be that accurate is incredibly just is mind blowing. It really speaks to the level of him being the standard of the NFL. He is really that guy. People want to be like him. They don't talk. I think here's what it is, right? We're so used to Patrick doing amazing and crazy and great things. We're like, it's like brain, not brainwashed, but it feels like it's watered down now because he's doing it so often. And he's not really getting the love that he deserves because he has been balling out consistently.
He is the front runner for MVP right now.
Why is Patrick the front runner for MVP?
There's a point
I have him on the bingo card to being the MVP this year because he got two of them last year, right? So I was like, there's no way the NFL is going to give him the MVP again this year, but he is playing the highest caliber level of football that I have seen, and he is only getting better every single week. And I know that this is the best defense he's ever had, but if this defense is getting other teams' offenses off the field this much, and you're giving Patrick Mahomes and the offense this many times to go out on the field and ball out, like, it doesn't even feel like Patrick is throwing the ball 40 times. No. It doesn't even feel like it when you're watching the game. It's just that's how often the offense
What's goes. Crazy is, to me, is a point I want to make, is that Patrick Mahomes, like you said, we're just so accustomed to watching him do this stuff that it's like it's second nature and we take it for granted, and you cannot take a single thing that he does for granted. However, he is back at the third passing yards leader this right. But my point to that is that the only two guys ahead of him have the top two receivers in the league, which is Kirk Cousins and Tua Tagovailoa, which they have Tyreek and Justin Jefferson, not to mention Jordan Addison, who's kind of filling in that Jefferson spot while he's out. Patrick Mahomes is doing that with Travis Kelce, who's a tight end, and everyone else. No one else is going to do that with Rashee Rice as your top wide receiver. No, Tua's not going to be doing that with Rashee Rice as his top wide receiver. I'm sorry. And Travis Kelce, he's the best pass catching tight end in NFL history.
When we get off of here, remind me to look at how many yards Travis Kelce has and how many Tyreek Hill has.
I'll just look it up for you right now.
And Travis Kelce,
I need to know what that is, because Travis has been going crazy.
He's on pace for one of his best seasons at his oldest age.
Yeah,
right. And he missed a game. He missed game one, and he's literally still on pace for one of his seasons.
I need to know what that number is.
Okay, Travis has 525 yards currently.
And Tyreek, he's at 1,000 at least.
Oh, yeah. He's at 1,000 yet.
I'm looking it up. Hold on.
Because I feel like
Tyreek's at 902.
Oh, wow.
The Dolphins had
a Patrick to be that close to Tua, he's literally only 90 yards off of Tua's record.
And
has Tyreek with 900 yards. Patrick has Travis with 500. Patrick's only 90 yards off of Tua's off of beating him.
Yeah.
And Travis missed the whole entire game. Imagine if Travis was healthy week one and could have played.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's absolutely crazy.
Let's go ahead and kind of get into this Broncos game because we're kind of already talking about it a little.
I know.
There's really not a lot to talk about in this game because we did just play them 2 weeks ago. We were really dominant against them then. The only difference is, of course, is we are going to be in Denver this time. And I do think somebody's suspended, right? One of their safeties is suspended because he keeps having dirty hits. So the NFL suspended him for 4 games. The Broncos did win this past week. Yeah. Shocking. I had them losing.
Yeah.
So they did win this week.
They did win. They do have
a little bit of mojo going into this game. But
I'm actually kind of glad they did win because I don't know. I feel like if they didn't win, they'd be even more hungry to beat us. But that's probably a dumb theory on my
end.
You know what I mean? But yeah, I think keys to this game. I think they had some decent runs against us last game was my only takeaway. So, like, preventing Javonte.
But Nick Bolton didn't play.
He's not going to play this game, though, either.
I know, but we just – well, which – and I know he's probably not going to play this week, but – but I think Drew Tranquil will step it up this week.
Yeah, he definitely will. I think we win pretty easily. I think we're going to have a pretty vanilla – game plan probably, but it's going to be some smart game planning, but like just stuff that's not very flashy. It's not going to be like the exciting Chiefs stuff you want to see. And I hopefully I'm wrong and we'll see some exciting stuff, but
I don't think we'll be as vanilla as 2 weeks ago.
As long as we don't go up 27-0 and then
literally
blow a 27-point lead after halftime.
We don't talk about that, Jody. We don't talk about
that. I know. I'm sorry. Just
that game made me so mad. I was just like, what is happening?
I would love another like fun McKinnon play like we had last year in Denver where McKinnon just, where, you know, Mahomes is like almost out of bounds. Then he just slings it to McKinnon's sidearm and McKinnon goes in for the touchdown.
I don't even know what time we play these people this week.
Hmm?
I'm sure it's at 3.
Yeah, we play at 3.
I don't even know what time we play.
Oh, and I don't like those games. I cannot stand 3:25 games. I can't stand it.
What? They're Patrick's favorite.
I do too much before the game, and then I'm tired, and I have to like eat Twizzlers and fruit snacks to keep awake.
They're Patrick's favorite. We said the 3 o'clock slate is his favorite slate to play.
I know, but Patrick, I'm tired.
You guys,
I'm like, me too, Patrick. No, I love the 3 o'clock games. I can sleep in or go to church in the morning.
There's a chance of snow in Denver on Sunday.
Hey, gross. I mean, like
35 degrees there. So
what's how what temperature?
35 is the high in Denver.
35? 35. I'm complaining about like 52. Like,
No, it's like there's a chance of snow on Sunday. Nope, so
that's unacceptable.
But I would love to see a snow game in October. Let's do
Dumb, but we don't want snow here.
The week of Christmas.
Low is 29. I don't want to talk about it.
The week of Christmas is crazy. I agree with you. I think some of my keys to this game is defense just go out, be dominant. Offense keep starting fast. Limit turnovers because we did have a few. The last time we played in Denver, Patrick, I think had 2 or 3 interceptions. Three. So clean that up. No interceptions this game. The run game will be great. Get the run game active. Let them do their thing. I think this will be vanilla, like you said. I think it'll be like
I don't think it's gonna be vanilla. Why?
It shouldn't be.
I feel like it's gonna be more like the Chargers. I think it's gonna be more dynamic, like it was against the Chargers.
I think they're gonna save some fun stuff for the Dolphins the week after. Is my
theory. Yeah. I'm not saying we're gonna open, you know, the secret playbook. Well,
I cannot wait to talk about the Dolphins game. I do not care about the Broncos, the Chargers, and the Broncos. Get us out of this.
I know. I hate this. We're almost
out of the AFC West.
I am so ready to talk about the Broncos game. I'm at the Denver game next. I mean,
this will be what this. If we beat the Broncos, it's the 17th time in a row.
Yeah, that's so embarrassing for them.
Yeah,
my best friend's a Broncos fan, and let me tell you,
I can't wait
to text her on Sunday and be like, "Hey, how's your day going?"
Jeez Louise!
Real quick to touch on that, just what I heard from Nate Taylor today is he said there's still talks, but it might be up to like the trade deadline, which is a week from today. Oh,
I don't think we're in any hurry. That's the thing.
Yeah.
We don't need to be in a hurry right now. And I think that's probably part of it. I'm not saying like they're not going to get it done.
Yeah. I think get
done. Why hurry it? Why rush it? You know?
I mean, especially now with, you know, the Nick Bolton, you know, we definitely weren't anticipating him not being here for 6 weeks or 6 or 8 weeks or whatever the number is. They said he might not come back until December. And I just was like,
oh. I hate that. But
yeah,
December's not as far away as you think, though. I mean, it's the last week of October.
I know.
Yeah, it's okay. He'll have fresh legs and be ready for the playoffs.
He'll be ready for the playoffs, fresh legs. That's you know, a blessing in disguise. Yeah.
And a lot of our guys will be tired. So he'll definitely be able to let them get some rest, too. I will say, though, you know, do we win this week? Do we lock up the division, even though we haven't played the Raiders at all yet?
I'd say it's pretty close.
Basically.
Yeah. Like, I know it's not official, but it would be hard to.
I mean, you have to keep winning, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It would take like an injury or something horrible for something to go completely wrong for the Chiefs at this point.
I don't want them to get complacent. So.
Yeah.
And I don't think they will because they can't.
Yeah. Right? No, they know better. They know
if
better.
They were going to be complacent, it would have been in this window right here of the division. These next few games are very, like, what? Dolphins and then Eagles. Dolphins by Eagles. Like,
I know, that's
those
a hard
next two games are very, very important. And I also think that they're really going to – Patrick Mahomes is in the MVP conversation now, but depending on how these next 3 weeks go –
I know.
That's going to say a lot about Tua and Jalen.
Yeah.
And the Eagles want to go. Let's get past this Denver game. God bless.
I know. I'm over Denver. Let's move on.
And then it gets spicy. It spices up after that. Thank God.
Like, we just talked about Denver 2 weeks ago. I'm over it.
I just hope we snowball out against them and prove a point and then just keep going. That's what
I'm
like, just put a nail in their coffin.
Yeah.
Right. Have a great rest of the year. It was so great seeing you. I know we haven't made it to Christmas yet. Oh, well, we're done with you. Bye. Wrapping them up before November is crazy. So, yeah. Well, week 8, there's a couple of good games this week. Not a ton. Bengals-Niners, which, interesting. Rams-Cowboys, even though the Rams just lost to the...
The Rams are such a weird team.
I don't understand who they are.
Who they lose to?
Steelers.
What? Why did they lose to the Steelers?
The Steelers are like sneaking out wins and they're still at the top of their division. It's weird. It's weird. I don't know. Right now, the playoffs are standing where, so this next week, the Jaguars go into play the Steelers at their home. And right now, if you like ended the season today, right now the Jags would actually play the Steelers in the playoffs. Oh, I'm like, that could actually be a sneaky kind of weird good.
We could have a bye week. That would be fun.
Yeah.
We're
at the top of the AFC. So it's only us and the Eagles that are 6-1. Everyone else is lower. So woohoo.
Do y'all know who is hilarious?
Who?
Nick Wright is hilarious.
Oh my God, I love it. And it's just
why
because we're
like this.
I'd hate him if I wasn't a Chiefs fan.
But oh, me too.
He has been terrorizing people, and it has been amazing.
Yeah.
For him to already drop the Arrowhead Invitational
banner.
I was like, why do you have that?
Like, why is that already made? It is week 7.
Please, week 8. There is so much football left. It's not even funny.
So much.
Go ahead and drop it. The 6th annual Arrowhead Invitational. Really embarrassing.
I love his confidence in the team.
You need to hold on to that for at least.
You need to calm down, Nick. You need to calm down.
5 more weeks, please.
Being too loud.
Get to double digits at least.
Yeah. Please. Yeah, we gotta play some more football, but I love the enthusiasm.
He always cracks me up. But if I were not a Chiefs fan, God, he'd be annoying.
Yeah. I make sure I watch his show every single day.
But I do love him. I love his crazy, confident.
Gotta love the kid from KC. Rams, Cowboys, I don't really have anything at all to say about that game. It is in Dallas. Dallas should win that game. We'll see.
They probably will, but yeah.
They should. But yeah. I mean, the Niners should have also won yesterday.
It really is a week-to-week league. It's week-to-week, and everything changes every week. And people,
as long as we just keep winning, what happens with everybody?
Yeah. That's wild.
As long as we keep winning.
There's one other game I was saying, or am I?
Did we already talk Bengals 49ers?
We didn't really talk it, but that game is this week. Niners need to win.
Please. Thank you.
Like, I think I originally.
Not even just for us, but for them. They
before
need to win.
The season started, though, I had the Bengals win in this game before the season started. I think I had the Bengals beating the Niners.
That's fair. Yeah. I think it's going to be a great game. But
what's
I also thought Lions and Ravens was going to be a great game last week, and then it was an insane blow.
Absolutely not a great game.
Well, who knows? Who knows?
You just can't even predict anymore.
No.
Well, the Bengals are 3-3. I didn't realize they were 3-3.
Who are? The Bengals?
Ah.
Yeah.
Their
losses are
to the division. Their losses are 4-2 already. I thought they were 4-2.
No, and they've been trying to lose.
They try.
That is what their games all look like. Like, how many ways can we almost lose this game?
Yeah.
Good for them.
And I don't say that to be like a cocky Chiefs fan. That's just literally what it looks like. Like, the Bengals are struggling.
No, they're definitely struggling. It's not pretty.
Yeah, and the rest of their schedule is ugly.
And I'm done blaming the calf injury. Just to put it on record, I'm done blaming it.
Because Joe Burrow looks really good against the Cardinals.
Mm-hmm. He looked fine.
Yeah, he looked just fine against the Cardinals.
So quit using it as a crutch.
But also, like, Travis Kelce, he's been hurt most of the season.
Right.
Half the season, and he's still Travis Kelce. Travis. And he's still having the season of his life. So you really can't blame injury. And we learned that after the last playoffs with Mahomes' ankle. So.
And you have probably one of the best wide receiver cores in the NFL.
Yeah, so, give us one.
Can we talk about why are the Bears versus Chargers on Sunday Night Football?
God, we are past.
And then Raiders versus Lions on Monday Night Football? What?
We're past week six now. They can start flexing games out.
Yeah, like, flex.
Hello?
Please, flex.
Nobody wants to watch Chargers versus Bears.
No, please. Nobody. Niners and Bengals. Yes, that's this week. Please put the Niners.
Does the World Series start this week? Oh, does the World Series start Sunday or Monday?
No, I don't know.
You know, when the Royals can't even get close to the playoffs, I don't care about the World Series.
You know, I'll watch it, but yeah,
I will not. And I played softball. Like I loved softball. I will not watch. I don't care.
This week's Thursday night game is the Bucks versus the Bills, and I think that could low-key be a sneaky good game.
Yeah. Bucks are another team I don't quite understand.
They're like the Rams. Yeah. They're like the Rams.
Yeah.
The Bucks and the Rams are like the same to me right now.
Yeah, I can't figure out really who they are.
But, yeah.
There's a lot of teams that are not good, and they really need to figure out how to be better because they're making the NFL boring.
Yeah, I mean, it's really clear who's dominant, and the Chiefs are at another level. The Eagles are another level.
And I feel like the Chiefs and the Eagles haven't kicked it into, like, high gear yet.
And I think
the Eagles haven't even kicked it into, like, their next.
No.
Like,
so, yeah, Chiefs Monday night game is going to be insane. That's going to be really good.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be so good. Arrowhead's going to like snow or something.
That's going to be wild. But, right, I love it. Let's have a snow game.
No.
And they'll just blame the field again. It's fine.
One of our comments says if Josh Allen can stop committing turnovers.
Yeah, right. We're lucky to keep doing that.
That's right, not gonna happen. What?
Have you not learned? Have
four predictions for Broncos Chiefs?
Oh yeah, let's have fun with these.
Oh, are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. 34-10.
I want to give like a unique score because like last game against them, it was what, 19-8? Like what a
They're
dumb
definitely score. Gonna score at least.
Yeah, like, that's a dumb score.
That's a exactly dumb score. So dumb I'm gonna score. Another dumb score. It's gonna be
a stupid safety. No way, those Jets. Never mind.
I mean 37.
I don't even know what's happening.
37-13. 37-13. That's my prediction.
I like it.
37-13.
I like it.
35-12.
There you go.
All our scores are about the same.
I don't think we're going to win by 20, but I do have us winning by at least two touchdowns.
Do you guys know what the spread is yet? Have they said that?
No, let's look.
I don't know. I can't bet in Missouri.
No, I got to go across the street.
Got to come over to my
house. I hate it. I mean, not that I have the money to do it, but man, if I could spend $5 on a bet that I know I'd win, like I'd do it.
Right,
Missouri, get your act together,
please.
It's about time. Come on,
it's been on the ballot twice, and there's like, no, we're not.
Yeah, real dumb.
Maybe we're not doing it, and it's like, okay.
I also wonder if Broncos, because this is the trade deadline, they're gonna be showcasing. I feel like Sutton could get traded. He low key went off last game against the Packers.
They better go get some of those picks back because they can't get a quarterback.
Yeah, they're going to need picks because they will be with Russell Wilson for quite some time.
I'm not even
so at least 2026.
Yeah.
The spread is 7.5.
That's it?
7.5. Interesting.
Why?
They have the point spread at 46.5.
Huh. Maybe because of how the last game went. But we still can't win the last game.
Because they won on accident? No, they didn't win on accident.
Wait, what?
No, I mean our last game against them. Was so close.
Oh yeah, yeah. We only.
I mean, not close.
Close.
That's not what I meant to say.
We only blew 27 points.
It was such a low scoring game. That's more.
That game was like we did just enough because we knew they couldn't do anything.
Yeah. Yeah, for
like,
sure. Yeah,
but I still expect us to just go out there and be like,
Patrick is rolling right now, so
I like it. It's unique. Like, we like the unique scores.
So yeah. If we play on Sunday, when do we fly to Germany?
They like, say we're only getting there a couple days in advance. What I have heard.
When are the Dolphins planning to get there?
I don't know.
The only thing I don't like, and this is, I think, to the Dolphins' advantage, is that they have a home game and we have an away game. So we play in Denver, Dolphins play at home, and then we both go to Germany. So Dolphins are already closer to that side of the world. And
are they going straight there from Denver?
No, we'll come back, but
are we?
I would think so.
Yeah, I'm sure we will. I just don't think that from what I have heard, we are only flying out a few days in advance. We are not flying out like a week ahead of time to get acclimated with the jet lag and all of that.
They won't tell us until after the Denver game, so we can't even
We probably won't.
This is according to, I think Nate Taylor was on 610, and that's what he said, is that we are only flying out because they were talking about the teams who normally fly out and have longer time there tend to win the games. Yeah. But as Nate Taylor said on 610, the Chiefs, from what he said, were only planning on going a few days in advance, just like they would do for like a normal game.
I bet you'll leave Wednesday.
Yeah.
Probably.
I don't know.
Yeah, I know that this is a home game for us.
First game, but this is the first game in Germany, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so then the Patriots play the Colts.
Yeah.
They play them next, right? So you would think that because this was the first game ever in Germany, they might go.
I feel like they would have some pressing to do, but you never know. It's going to be a weird week regardless, but all I know is that the Dolphins have a home game this coming weekend and we travel this weekend. So we have to travel twice in a row and the Dolphins are only traveling to Germany. They have a home game this weekend. So that's where I'm saying it's to their advantage. But we'll get to that next week. And also,
and that could be why they're leaving. They could leave earlier than us because we still have to get home.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. So they have the slight advantage there and I don't love that. But aside from that, I will say next week is Halloween. And we probably will not be recording on Tuesday next week, but we're going to figure that out and we will tweet it out and let you guys know.
Yeah, I'll be running around as a stormtrooper, keeping Darth Vader and
stormtrooper. Ooh.
Oh yeah, Emma's my daughter. Can't be a girly Halloween costume. She is Darth Vader.
Darth Vader.
Hilarious.
Love it.
And so I have to be a stormtrooper. And then Riley is being Master Chief from Halo. Don't even get me started on that. That's not something I'm super happy about, but whatever, it's out of my control. But Emma and I, we always do coordinating outfits. And so she said I had to be a stormtrooper. I'm like, I can't be a Jedi. I can't be like Princess Leia. No, I had to be a stormtrooper.
You're a trooper for that.
Right? I see what you did there.
All right. Well, let's get into the sponsor and get out of here.
Let me model my candy.
That's a Ken Seltzer. I don't have any. guess I should call the sponsor. Shots Ken Seltzer, first Black-owned seltzer in the United States. You can get it at 13 locations. It is made of all fruit, no currants, corn syrup.
Delicious.
It's healthy. It's only 95 calories a can. It's really good when you mix it, too. You can mix it with wine. You can mix it with your favorite alcoholic beverage. Whatever. Very clean and refreshing. Drinking out the can, drinking on ice. Either way it goes.
Delicious.
So, so good. 13 locations in the Kansas City area. If you do not know where to find them, you can go to the website at kenseltzer.com and click on Find Us, and it'll pull up every single location for you, too. And we will probably be doing a giveaway soon.
Next week, because we should do that for the game that is away, because everyone's going to be watching downtown Kansas City, right? Or everyone's going to be going out and watching this game that's in Germany, because it's going to be at like 9 a.m. So you're going to need a Kenseltzer at 9 a.m., right?
Breakfast for sure.
Pour in your breakfast cereal. Mix is great, I'm sure.
It's probably perfect.
Well, we'll try to do one next week.
We'll probably do one for sure in the next like week or two.
So just be listening up.
Drinks for the bye week to keep you entertained. Something.
Exactly. Oh yeah, exactly.
Okay, we'll figure it out. That's what we got. Other than that, we will let y'all know when we're doing this next, because I have no clue.
Yeah, we'll let you know. It's going to be some time next week. It could be Monday, could be Wednesday, could be Thursday, maybe Thursday. We'll see.
Friday, could be Saturday. No,
Anyway.
Well, make sure to subscribe, like, and follow to all of our platforms. That's YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, Apple, Spotify, all of them. We will be back, like we said, next week. It just won't be on Tuesday because I know I'll be out trick-or-treating with my kids. And let's be honest, if we were to try to do the podcast, even if we were all here, people would be ringing our doorbells constantly. Our dogs would be barking. Our cats would be eating our hair. All these fun things that we've been dealing with. So it would just be chaos. So make sure you are subscribed to all our platforms so you can find out when we will be going live next week. So let's go back into Broncos country. Let's finish out this 17th straight win.
That's right.
The Broncos. Again, my son, who is 8, has never seen the Broncos beat the Chiefs. Let's keep it going that way. But, you know, Chiefs Kingdom, let's ride into this next week 8 with another victory. And we will see you next Tuesday. We'll see you next week. So until next time, your queens have spoken.
Please go win.
Love y'all.
Bye.
Bye.